What's good, Waves and World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin in Nevada. I'm in here with my co-host, the OG of the show. He's back and he's in his cabin.
Waiting for the propane delivery. That's why I got the flannel on.
Got the lumberjack on. You looking good, man. You look like how we used to hang at the two stores on Braveswood with the red flannel on, man. What's good, yep. Man? It's the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. Spread a stare.
All right, yeah, I can't wait to be here today. Five Star, we joked before the show. I said I was going to text you and ask you for the pick tonight. And I said, wait a second, I already know. But let's see if the people know, and we'll see where we're going with this.
You know I got my red on tonight. You already know what it is. I also got a special guest in here, one of my closest homeboys in the whole world, man, my dog, Ski Profit. What up, Hakeem?
What's good with y'all, man? It's good to be back on here. It's been a little bit, but some money to be made out there. We gotta get it,
man. You know the only reason why you haven't came as often as you used to, because I was doing your show with you every Friday. So since we was doing that, I didn't ask you to come on as much. I appreciate you giving the time. I know this is your time of the year with NBA going and stuff like that, so we really appreciate your time. Let's get right into the show. Spread, last night Steph Curry with the worst game of his career. Did you see that, man? What a job by the Rockets. I know you both are Steph Curry truthers. Me, I love Steph Curry. Been a fan of his since Davidson. Loved how he evolved into the NBA and became really a superstar. Started getting on my nerves as a Rockets fan because he started clowning us so much and beat us so many times. So it seems like maybe the Rockets have changed the narrative with that Warriors, little problem that they had. They were horrible head-to-head against the Warriors, but, man, last night was a dominant performance in San Francisco, and they hold Steph, one of the greatest scorers of all time and with no doubt the greatest three-point shooter of all time, to his worst game of his career with only 3 points. I'm going to ask both you guys, you both are NBA experts. Let's go with Spread first. Spread, are the Rockets a threat in the West? Because you've been telling me they were before a lot of people thought that they were.
Yeah, there's two concerns I have for Houston in the West. Number one, we've seen this constantly in the NBA. You learn through losses, right? It's not the NFL where a team can miss the playoffs and then make it to the conference championship or the Super Bowl turnaround. And I think one of the reasons for that, and Ski and I were talking a little bit before we started the show, it's not even the same sport that they're going to start playing next week. It's not even the same sport when it comes to the defensive intensity. And most of all, the way the game's officiated, and we'll bring that up when we're talking about Oklahoma City's chances as well. But because of that, I feel like a lot of these younger teams need to learn, and they need to learn through losses, right? And it's so commonly brought up, right, how the Celtics and the Pistons essentially molded Michael Jordan to who he was by beating his butt year after year until he was able to overcome that. A lot of those things happen in the West. Magic Johnson started out playing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, arguably the best player of all time. So he didn't have to go through those, but most players do. So that's my concern for the Rockets. And we've talked about it before. When you come to the Rockets, my other concern is in a half court, slowed down situation, other than Jalen Green, where am I going to get my buckets? We've talked about Şengün. He can get good buckets, but he's not good from the free throw line. Teams will exploit that. For the Rockets to be successful in the postseason, they're going, because they don't have a bunch of guys that can just create good looks. They're going to have to continue to dominate on the offensive glass. As teams step up their intensity on the defensive rebounding, well, the Rockets still maintain some of that advantage. That's one of the reasons why their offense has been so good this year. A lot of times they don't get a quality shot on their first look, but you get those putbacks, you get those easy layups, a lot of times some and ones, and that can kind of make up for their lack of creation. So, I am so high on the Rockets and I'm so excited about their future. Unfortunately, this year, I'm worried that it's going to be a learn from losing type situation as the sport essentially changes with the way the postseason is played and officiated.
That very much could be so. But one thing that I can say is that the Rockets will definitely benefit from a playoff whistle, because they already like to muck it up and play rough and real handsy, and they're not going to be blowing the whistle a lot in the playoffs. We know that that's long been a tradition in the NBA. It's when it becomes the no boys allowed league in the playoffs. So I think that'll benefit them with their toughness and things like that. another thing that I must say is Jalen Green kind of showed you what I think the future is going to look like in the playoffs for the Rockets if they keep this team intact, like I'm hoping that they do. And that would be with him being the closer. You know, they have a real versatile deep team. They have four or five guys that average double points a game, but they need Jalen Green to be the igniter and to be the closer, the guy that when they need a basket, they can give him the ball because he's the only one that can really create by himself. I'd say Sagoon is as well, but I don't think Udoka likes to play inside out. He's always been a wing guy, as we've seen from his past success in Boston, and also with him being a former small forward himself, and also with him being wise enough to understand that the league is long transition to being where it's a wing league more than big guys. Even though Jokic is very dominant, we see that Jokic can't do it by himself. He needs great wings around him in order to be successful. Ski, what do you think about the Rockets? Are they a real contender in the playoffs, or is it just a regular season team this year?
They are making their way up. I hate to disappoint you, but they're not going to make it out the West. They're not one of the teams that I'm you know, looking at to put money on to do that. I do think they have a good coach. I like a lot of their players. They play really good defense. But I just think it's one player I specifically don't like on that team, but I'm gonna leave him alone. I'm gonna just say Jalen Green.
Oh yeah, I've been trying to sell you on Jalen forever. You go too much from him too quick, Ski. He's good.
That's what I'm saying. It's early. These guys are young. They still, I mean, can they be a part of that conversation of running the West in the near future? Absolutely. They look like that's what they're, you know, on the way to do. But do I think they're ready to do it right now? I just don't believe it. I see so
many. What are your main concerns with Jalen Green, Ski?
He turns the ball over too much.
Consistency, right?
I just, like I said, I don't like bashing him because he's so young. It's just, I don't like enough of what I'm seeing right now to put him over the hump. That's all
I know. What's hurting him, Ski? Because you watch, you know, I watch the Rockets every night. Y'all know how I am. I'm a diehard Rockets fan. God bless my father, rest in peace. God bless my Uncle June. Both of them passed that tradition to me. They never miss a Rockets game. If it's on the local channel, whatever game it is, they're going to watch it. And me and Ian are continuing that. We love watching the Rockets. We haven't missed a game in years. The thing that Jalen's dealing with, Ski, that you don't see as someone who doesn't watch him as much is frustration, bro. He can get to the basket anytime he wants, but the refs don't like him. Or I ain't going to say they don't like him. They just don't respect him. Or maybe it's the black fingernail polish. You know, these are older refs. They probably don't like all that stuff, you know. So they don't give him a superstar whistle. Man, AR-15 for your Lakers gets a way better whistle than Jalen Green gets, you know. And he's not even, you know, the name of Jalen is. Jalen has a national spot with Wingstop. You know, everyone knows about his baby mom and stuff. He's kind of a really popular guy with the younger generation of players. But, man, for some reason, the refs do not give him any calls, and he's getting hacked all of the time. And I'm not saying, like, normal fouls. I'm talking about cross the face, cross the throat, cross the chest type stuff, and the refs just play on. And so it gets frustrating. Now he's in a position where I'm shooting a lot of jumpers. And now, you know, sometimes, as we know, your jump shot's not going to be on. And at 6'4", 200 pounds or so, 190 or so, man, you don't want to keep driving and you're getting clobbered and you're not getting any calls. So I think he gets frustrated with that. I'll push back with you on one thing where I think the Rockets do have a better chance than most people think of going to the finals this year and winning the West. If you remember, Udoka's first team in 2022 with the Celtics were built a lot like this one. And they started slow, just like the Rockets. They were getting kind of accustomed to his style of coaching and how hard the practices are. They were 18-21 starting out, and then they started a turnaround, just like this team is doing in January. And it all began with defense, man. And they finished second in the Eastern Conference, and they were playing really well going into those playoffs. And I remember being Uski. We're betting them. Like, we betting them in the playoffs this year because the way that they were playing defense. I know that Tatum and Brown had a lot more, you know, experience than these guys because they had already been in the league maybe 5 or 6 years at that time. But you have a lot of resemblances in the wings for Houston and the way that they could play defense. I got to say, Amen Thompson right now is the best defensive player in the league, honestly. If you watch enough basketball, you know that. It's just reps and, you know, more games. He'll be a defensive player of the year probably multiple times in his career as long as he doesn't ever get injured or no serious injuries, man, because He's one of the few guys that can play 1-4, but also has a really high defensive IQ. That means if even if he's on someone, kind of like a safety, he can come off his guy and make something happen. He really understands defense really well and team defense. Then the second maybe best perimeter defender in the league is on the team as well with Tari Eason, only 23. Spread was so high on him when the Rockets drafted him. We were like, we can't believe they got this guy. He's a lottery pick, and they got him at 17, and he's panning out really well for them. Just has to be able to play every night. He's still getting over some little nagging injuries, and it's smart how they bring them along. Jabari Smith, the number three player took in the draft, coming off the bench with no worries, not crying, not complaining, just playing his role and still averaging about 15 points a game. And he's a really versatile defender. 1-5, he can defend. Then you look at the OG, Dylan Brooks. He's 29, but they have a really great contract on him. It diminishes each year. So he's going to be around. He's also brought his scoring aspect. The Rockets have allowed him to get back to who he was in Oregon and get more shots up. So I just think that they're in a really good spot, because when you're young like that, kind of your youth kind of helps you, like the Suns did in 2021. You don't know any better. You're just going to play. Like, I was smacking these guys in regular season, we can smack them now. So I think the competitive spirit of the Rockets is a little bit underappreciated by the national media and by basketball pundits, but they do have to go through the growing pains. That's normal in the NBA, but I think that they're going to make a bigger push than people think. Holden Curry, 1 out of 10 from the field and 1 out of 8 from the three-point line, is amazing. They harassed him. I'm sure that Steve Kerr makes some adjustments going forward, but we know that Curry had been cooking, man. He had just had 250-point games, so just a real good job overall by the Rockets. Now let's get to your Lakers, Ski, to your favorite team and to Spread's most hated team.
Every sport too, even worse than the Yankees, Ski.
Them. Now they got them back to where it's going to be Gail Goodrich and Jerry West in the backcourt. So they got the prime Lakers back. So they had a really impressive victory yesterday against OKC. I got smacked on that game. I laid the 8 with OKC like a fool. Talked to Ski earlier. Ski was like, I ain't playing it, man. We won that game with the Cougars. I'm not playing that, man. I should have known not to play, right, Spring? If this dude not been in the NBA, then I should know not to. My wife still cussing me out about that loss. So I took OKC like a fool -8, man, and ended up where the Lakers beat their ass, like, from tip to finish. It wasn't even close, and it was mostly the others. LeBron, man, seemed like he's looking a little old for some reason to me, man. Maybe he's just, you know, trying to pace
himself. Maybe he's just 40.
Yeah. He is old. Like, but the guys around him are hooping their ass off. Really great showing by Luka. We know Luka owns OKC. So going forward into the playoffs, I start with you, Ski. Lakers, are they the team to beat in the West?
Are they the team to beat? No. Are they one of the teams to beat? I think so. And I think that game specifically, or that matchup, like, OKC is one of the teams that the Lakers just match up really well with. So I personally don't think they want to see them in a series. Like, the West is so tight this year. There's so many good teams. I think once we get to the playoffs, it's going to be very matchup dependent as far as how we're going to bet it. Like, certain teams, like, for example, if I just have to think right now out loud, I would say the Lakers can beat OKC. I think OKC can beat the Warriors, and I think the Warriors can beat the Lakers. Like, I would like to see the way that the road to the championship shakes out, but it's a lot of teams who can definitely get there. It's a few teams who absolutely cannot, but Lakers can definitely make it.
Warriors, you mentioned them, so let's not use them. Other than the Warriors, as a Lakers fan, which team do you not want to see in the playoffs? Who do you think is the worst matchup for you guys?
Other than the Warriors, I'm not really scared of anybody in the West, but if I have to pick one, that's tough. I'm not really scared of nobody else, honestly, bro.
You supposed to say the Rockets, and you know why, Ski? The only reason why I say that is because, you know, your team is a little bit older. So I think that the energy that the Rockets play with is going, and the way that their style is, Ski, we saw the last time the Lakers beat them, but they had to play the Rockets style of ball. The Lakers don't want to play like that. They want to play freewheeling and shooting threes. They don't want to bog down and fight and battle and hit all series. So even though they would probably beat the Rockets just because of Luka and LeBron, Luka would probably be able to figure it out and get enough baskets to get them over the hump against us. But I don't think they want to play them just because of the effort they'd have to give. And if it's, you know, a game, how it's set up, they would probably play it, I think, in the, what that'd be like the next round, the second round. So that would tire them out a lot for the championship, you know?
Another question, Ski, and I think this shows you how much the Lakers are really contenders. What do you think's the better supporting cast? The team that Luka had last year that made the finals, or this Lakers squad? I think that Mavericks team maybe had a little more depth and a little more, bit more athleticism, but at the top end, this Lakers team might have a little more talent. Which team do you think is a better supporting cast for Luka?
That's a tough word, supporting cast, because the way I see it, like, the defensively, the Mavericks had a lot better players around Luka, and you need them to make up for his defense. But on the Lakers, offensively, it's light years ahead of whatever Mavericks had over there. I think you got, this is how I view it for the Lakers. You have a three-headed monster. Like, how many times do we see three players averaging 20-plus points per game? How many teams in the NBA have three top defenders like that that can really go out there and guard them three dudes? So that's why I think the Lakers and this team for Luka this year can be even better. Defense, in my opinion, yes, you know, there's some feel for the game. There's people who are better at certain things, but a lot of it is energy and effort. And you just look at when Luka first came to the Lakers, it looked like a completely different team. The defense was better than when Anthony Davis was there. So if you can have that energy and effort with this added offense, this team, this Lucas team, will be way better than the Mavericks last year.
All right.
All right, Spread. So what are your forecasts for the West? Do you think, and we haven't even said the Nuggets, I guess, because it's a four-game losing streak, and I don't think Jamal Murray will be ready for the playoffs. I don't know yet, but what I'm hearing is that he might not, at least for the first round. And we already know the worst charm you can have is former Rocket and a former Laker. And Ski and I can attest, if you got Westbrook on your team, good luck. So I don't know if we need to, you know, put the Nuggets in there or not. But what's
Westbrook
your,
or Julius Randle?
Bro, oh man, those two of them, you don't want them. So what's, what do you think, Spread? What's your opinion on how things going to shake out in the West in the playoffs?
Right now, if I were to be setting the odds, I'd put OKC first. I know we do have some current concerns with them, and I talked about the Rockets' inability to score in the half court. OKC's got the same thing, right? Yeah. You take out Shea, they don't have a lot of creators. Also, when that Shea doesn't get that whistle, right, and Ski brought this up before the show, how good did OKC look when Shea only went to the line once or twice, right, instead of his normal 10 to 12 times? So when he's not getting that friendly whistle, how effective is he going to be? Still, this team has one of the best net ratings we've ever seen. I'm not surprised that they're going through a slump right now. I think that they're looking ahead. You know, I think Shea's got MVP on his mind, but, you know, overall, this season's a grind, and I think they know where their season's really going to be judged at. So I'd still say OKC's number one, even though we have some concerns with them. Then I'd put the Lakers number two, as much as I hate to do that. It sickens me, and I'm still mad at Nico Harrison kind of bailing out the Lakers. It looked like their little run of dominance was going to come to the end when they lost LeBron, and now they have the perfect bridge. And then third, boy, you know, we talk about Denver, and I hate to discount them, but I'd probably put the Warriors third, and then I'd put the Clippers ahead of the Nuggets. What do you think of that, Ski? Only just because, I mean, Jokic is still, to me, the best player in basketball right now. He's still should be the MVP. But that supporting cast is terrible. I just don't think he's got enough around him to get it done. I think the Clippers would have a better chance to upset the apple cart than the Nuggets. What do you think, Ski?
You said the Nuggets are third and the Clippers are after them?
No, I'd say the Warriors are third, Clippers are fourth, Nuggets are fifth. In my eyes.
Well, I'll say like this. I like the Clippers team a lot this year. I think that James Harden has been playing really well. I think that getting off of PG, I don't know. You got a lot of other guys over there playing really well. As long as they can stay healthy, they definitely have a chance to be competitive and win a series or win a couple. The Nuggets, they can too, but the Nuggets, they did the same thing the Lakers did, and it's so stupid. You win a championship, and what do? You start getting rid of those pieces that help you get there. You get rid of Bruce Brown, you get rid of KCP. They literally did the same exact thing. They got rid of KCP and added Westbrook. Like, see what the Lakers just went through? So,
yeah.
The Nuggets.
Yeah, Rockets went through the same thing, bro. Because when Westbrook was with Harden, that was during the bubble. And the team was playing really good going into that tournament. And, man, you talking about just bonehead decisions by Westbrook over and over. Just that the other day, what he did with, first of all, why you
even He keep doing it, too. He keep doing it.
You shot a layup, you missed the layup, then you run down there and foul the three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He just plays like a maniac all the time, and if you try to tell him something, it's like he doesn't even hear. It's just like, me and the ball, it's me and my ball. Like a little kid, like, it's just me and my ball, I don't care about anyone else. It's just us. So, I don't know, he need to.
The Nuggets are not going to do it this year.
His mental is terrible, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Nuggets are cooked.
Yeah. His mental, I don't. We're going to get to the past in 1 second. Spread what you were saying about OKC. I don't trust OKC, and the reason why, I think people think that the Rockets are a regular season team, but the thing about the Rockets is, man, they have a physical style, and don't even start when they put in the double bigs and go with Steven Adams next to Sengun, because Sengun is really a four. He's not a center, you know. Even though he gives great effort now on defense because Udoka's coached him up, he just can't, you know, box out the bigger centers, but he's a hell of an offensive rebounder. When they bring in Steven Adams, there are problems on the glass for teams. I don't see that with OKC. OKC seems to me one of those teams that they have to shoot well. If they're not shooting a three well, bro, they're going to be in trouble, because you can't just expect SGA, as we've seen now in these later season games against first the Rockets, and they kind of put out the blueprint that JJ Redick just used yesterday against OKC and was able to be successful. Don't foul him. If he doesn't get to the foul line, bro, he can't do anything. And what have we seen before with my Rockets with Harden? When he got to the playoffs, whistle dries up, they're playing for fouls, and what happens? So I don't expect much from OKC. Everyone likes them and think that they're going to do something. I don't think that they're going to do much in the playoffs at all, man. But let's get to the pass, Brett.
All right, let's jump right in, and we have plenty to talk about. What a Final Four we've had so far, five-star. Auburn, first half, cash. Florida won it overall, though. What did you see in that game, five-star?
It just kind of went like I broke it down on Friday. I expected Auburn to come out really hyped. They had lost to Florida in the one time that they met, and they lost at home. So you knew they were going to come out juiced. But as the game keeps going and kept going, you don't mess with Walter Clayton at the end of the game. Against Auburn, at least, for sure. Because you know that he's going to be able to get to his spots and make something happen. And he brought them back 14-point second half margin by Florida. They were down 8, and I was so mad. Shout out my partner, Ro. He called me, man, and we were talking. We had chopped it up in a while, and I had Auburn for the first half. Money line plus 115, hit it for a nice amount. And I wanted to take Florida money line when they were down 8, but we were on the phone. Man, by the time I got off, it was tied up and it wasn't any value left. So I hate that I missed the second half, but Florida's just a more solid team. Auburn turns the page. We'll see if Pettiford stays for another season or goes to the NBA, which I guess he probably does. I'm sure Bruce Pearl will just do the same thing he did this year, go find a bunch of transfer guys who he thinks can play well in the system, offer them some money, take them from some mid-major programs, add a couple freshmen and try it again. But Auburn just isn't the basketball program Florida is this year and really never has been. Florida's always been a much more solid program. And their team just is a better team, man. And the guy who really goes unmentioned for Florida that does everything, you know, spread how much I like him, Elijah Martin, man. Elijah Martin is Lou Dort. If an NBA team is lucky enough to get this kid, they're going to be really, really excited with this play because he's 6'6", built like a linebacker, more built like a defensive end, can shoot the three, can handle the ball, and he's really good on switches 1 through 3. So I expect him to have a really, really solid pro career, but it went just like we expected. Auburn really excited early, trying to get some get back, win the first half of Florida, ultimately being the better team.
Ski, did you watch that game, and what were your takeaways?
I watched both games. The Florida game, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Auburn. Auburn, I think, just peaked really early. Like, they look really good out the gate. I thought that they could be one of those guys. But just as the season went on, they showed me they're inconsistent. Broom, I talk so much shit about him, man. I just I'm not big on him like everybody else. I don't think he's as good of a player. So, Florida, Walter Clayton Jr., man, that's the story. That's my dog. When it comes down to it, that's the person that you can trust with your money. So he's going up against some more dogs coming up, but that's what I saw in that game. When it matters, that's who's going to get you over the hump, Walter Clayton Jr. They gave him the ball every time, and he made it work.
You remember when basketball season first started, we were at your house, and we were sitting there watching the game. I say, Walter Clayton is the only guy in college basketball that when he shoots, you can say, oh, that's good.
Count it.
You count it, man. I've been watching this dude since I own him, man. There's a lot of people just getting on him, man. This kid is good, and because his size, he's not super small, but he's just a regular size guard. He's probably going to drop in the NBA draft, and what's going to be fun is he's going to end up landing somewhere really good, and people are going to be like, damn, why we didn't take Walter Clayton? Because the way he shoots the ball is going to translate to the NBA really well, man. And he's an ex-football player, so he has a lot of competitiveness about him as well.
Let's talk about that Houston game, five-star instant classic. What did you think of the game? And was this your favorite comeback in Final Four history? I was trying to think, man. When you put this question in here, I thought, no. And then I started trying to think. I couldn't actually come up with a better one. So maybe you can refresh my memory, or maybe this just was the greatest comeback. What did you think?
It is the greatest, because they had a clip of Coach Kelvin Sampson walking in the back of the stadium at the Alamo Dome. And I guess one of his guys in the administration for UH was walking by him, or maybe it might have been an NCAA guy, and he had a sheet with him, and he was like, you do understand this was the biggest comeback victory in the history of the Final Four. He was like, really? And he was like, yeah. He said 14 points. Coach Sampson said, I'm glad it wasn't 17 points. So, yeah, it was, man. It was the greatest one. And as someone who's a diehard Houston fan, see, I had to put my little brother's shirt on today. Rest in peace to him. He's been gone almost 15 years now, man. But we used to run around on the Houston campus. He had a bunch of girlfriends over there. I had some little, action over there as well. And we'd go to Frenchies and run around from UH to TSU. So I know he's smiling down. People don't understand how big sports is in Houston to, like, the people who grew up there, because we've had some heartbreaking situations, man. Going back so many years, always coming up short. Always getting there. You go back to even like the Rockets. They used to get there and lose to the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals every year. And they get to the championship, finally lose to Boston. And then you got the Cougars. They've been to 7 Final Fours, never won any of them. Went to the championship game twice with by Slamma Jamma, which was the most popular team in America at the time. None of us was there for it, but if you look back through the history and kind of review college basketball history, one of the teams that were like before the Fab Five is really an American icon that people love, and they couldn't get it done either. So until the Rockets won in 94-95 and the Astros just recently success, man, Houston has always felt like the underdog, and they're still covered that way now. If you look in the media, it's always West Coast or East Coast bias, because most of the major media outlets are New York fans, Boston fans, or LA fans, so they always want to short Houston. So the fan base in Houston loves their team so much, and there's so much passion because they always feel like they're the ones that no one respects. So this was just a unbelievable game, man. I cried real tears. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not ashamed to say it, because I thought the game was over with, bro. And, I was sitting here watching him with my wife, and I left because me and Ski were at Westgate, and it wasn't going right first half. And we was both like, we gotta switch up the juice. We got to move around. So I went home. I'm like, let me go get on my home turf and battle this thing. And I remember when it was at 14, they made a run, got it down to like 8 or 7. And then the whole time watching, like, damn, Duke can't do anything on offense. We might got action. Then Flag hit that three-pointer, Ski. When he hit that three-pointer, I was like, oh, we ain't going to win. They were down 9, maybe like 2 minutes left. And then they started, and the process began. Then I thought we lost again when Tuckler got the technical foul for reaching over the line and hitting the ball from the guy. We survived that one.
I couldn't believe that.
Bro, I couldn't, but he was so hyped. He just wanted it so bad. He wanted to take the ball from him, but that's the aggression and the type of way that their team plays. And Ski, when it got down to 3 points, when my guy Emmanuel Sharp hit that three, and it was 67-64 with 30 seconds left, my light bulb went on in my head. And you know what I remembered? I remembered the Kansas game. And I said, you know what? We ain't out of this. These guys play really good defense at the end of the game, trapping. I remember against Kansas, we were down six with 19 seconds left and won the game. And they did the same exact thing. That's why I get so mad when people try to say on the media about Duke choked or that foul call against Cooper Flagg was ridiculous. You know I don't like officiating getting involved in games. But, bro, all we have to do is look back at this game. Duke didn't score but like 2 points the last 10 minutes of the game. But one guy said they were stuck on 59 like they were in Houston traffic. They were stuck on 59, bro, forever because 59 is a freeway in Houston and it's really bad traffic. And they could not score for anything. Then game pressure got on them. And Coach Sampson kept saying in the huddle that he kept telling his team, let's put some game pressure on these guys. And you start seeing that Duke was young. We kind of forgot about that. That Shai is young. Shai is younger than me, and he's the head coach for Duke, you know? So all of that kind of came to play, and then the veteran leadership of Houston and the just won it. Shout out to Juwan Roberts. Me and Ski were giving him hell because he was missing everything around the rim, and Coach Sampson loves him and trusts him. He's the captain of the team, and what does he do? He gets the big free throws after – well, first he gets the big box out in order to make Flag foul him on the free throw missed by Tyrese Proctor. He makes two free throws, and Ski and I watch a lot of Cougars and big Cougars every game. This guy's a horrible free throw shooter. Even though it's say 60%, he's one out of two every time, bro. And this was a one and one, so I was like, he's going to miss the first one. He made those. Then he gets the defensive stop on Cooper Flag. So just an outstanding game. As far as the Duke side, Cooper Flagg will be a fool to stay in school. He has to come on out this year because his stock will never get higher. People are like, you can get paid now, bring him back. He can enjoy school. I promise you, if Cooper Flagg comes back to school, he will not be the number one draft pick as years come by and other guys come. We've seen it a million times. When you don't leave, when the fire's hot, you get kind of complacent. There's nothing else he can learn at Duke, bro. Nothing. As far as his future in the NBA, oh, and great showing against Houston. He put 27 points up on him. So I didn't think he'd score 20, so good job. NBA, he's going to be better as a second option. He's not going to be good as the main guy because we've seen a couple times this year where he had the shot create at the end of the game because Shire's being lazy and not calling good plays. When they needed a basket, in their three games this year that were tight, they lost all of them because on the last shot, he didn't make it because he doesn't have a lot of offensive creativity. But what he does have is a winning style of basketball. He rebounds good. He passes good. He can handle the ball. He can make an open shot. So I think he'll be an awesome Robin for somebody like as the second guy, and he's going to be able to win a title if he can get with the right type of superstar. As far as the main guy, I hope they don't send him to Charlotte because he go to Charlotte, him or Washington, he's finished. But overall, greatest comeback ever in history, greatest win in Houston Cougars basketball history.
All right, Ski. Well, I already know the answer to this because I started my morning today like I do every day, listening to your new show, Ahead of the Spread. So make sure you're following Ski. It's become the staple of my morning commute. They do it the night before, and they look ahead to the NBA games. But I heard you discussing your enjoyment of that Houston Cougars win over there at the Westgate Sportsbook. For those of you who missed it, don't miss it again. But for those of you who missed Ahead of the Spread this morning, tell us what went on the Westgate for you guys on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit different than Five Star, man. It wasn't no tears for me. I was just so happy, and I was running around there giving everybody hell. Hey, I understand Five Star had to get out of there. I know how you operate, but, man, I was in there back against the wall, everybody loving Duke. Dude, a dude came over to me when you said that 59. This dude came over to me that I know. He says, oh, yeah, I got Duke. I got Houston team total under. And he just started just saying he's just so happy. And then ever since then, I'm like, they not scoring. Every time down the floor, Houston just locking up. And I just feel like the tension in the room, like everybody who was high-fiving and happy, it was starting to get quieter and quieter and quieter. And Houston just chipping away. When I seen Houston cut it back to like 7 points, I said, man, Houston about to cover. Then when Houston got it down to 5, I'm like, wait a minute. We could maybe win this game. And I just, what Five Star said, the experience, composure, coaching, you just seen it all to end the game. Duke didn't have any of that. A lot of young guys, and they just were not ready for that moment. Houston, battle-tested, they showed it. And, man, I'm so happy to see them in the championship. Like I said, people was mad at me around the casino. I was giving everybody hell.
You've been riding with me, bro, about 5 years on Houston now. You was de facto Houston fan with me.
I'm an honorary one. I'm an honorary.
That might be your squad. That might be your squad. They might have passed the tickets for you as far as... Nah, you might like UCLA the most. Who's your college basketball team now? You a Cougars fan, right?
I grew up UCLA, so I'm from LA. I always got love for LA, but outside of that, it's Samson and the boys, man.
That boy every day, Samson, man. Yeah, he respects you, but you a guy who loves basketball. You know, like if you don't love basketball, you can't understand that. But he loves basketball, so the stuff that Coach Samson does and that team does, man, it's just basketball, bro. It's not, it isn't pretty. It isn't out. It's just real basketball, bro. Just fighting all the way to the end and never forgetting your mission, not getting caught up in the moment, and just remembering that every play matters, bro. So, you know, we appreciate you as an adopted Houston fan, bro. We glad to have you inside of the fan base because you and I have won a lot of money. I think we've won more money on Houston probably together than anybody has, man, over the last 5 years.
Hey, it's an ATM, man. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yes, sir. But you remember we talked about the first half before the game, way before we got to game. We said we're not taking them for the first half. We're going to take the whole and still took the first half.
I just couldn't. Yeah, it's been paying bills. It's been keeping the lights off for so long. I'm like,
I'm telling you,
how am I going to feel when this first half is over?
Hey, thank you, Coopers.
I think the first half ATS record was somewhere around 30-10 ATS this season.
Yes. So that's a lot of units that we were able to stack up.
All right. Well, we had a good time on Saturday night, and we're going to try and keep it going tonight. Some hardcore sickos might have the Kings and the Pistons on. I just say right here. But, you know, fortunately, I got two TVs, so we can watch Houston and Florida, too. Five Star, you've been on fire all season with college basketball. I mean, just following it up with such a great college football season. We got one game left to take advantage of. Who do you like tonight? Well, I mean, I know you like Houston, but go ahead and break down the game for everybody.
Yeah, I know some people in the comments are going to say, oh, Five Star's a homer. I am, but I'm a homer with a purpose. It's everything in my system backs this, that I think that Houston raised the title for his first national championship tonight, man. You know, this is the first title game since 1984. They went 2 years in a row in 83 and 84. In 83, they lost to Jim Valvano and NC State on a miracle play that they've shown a million times in March Madness. And then 84, they just were not as good as Georgetown. Georgetown just had that team. That's the Patrick Ewing team and David Wingate. They were just really good. But seven trips, 1967, 1968, 1982, 1983, 1984, 2021, when they lost to the eventual champion, Baylor, and now this year. But I guess it's kind of like an omen. Guess who was on that 2021 team? The best player on the Cougars. That's right, L.J. Cryer. And I got a lot of love for L.J. Cryer. His dad, Lionel Cryer, a lot of people don't know this. My alma mater is Grambling State University, and he's in the Hall of Fame there as a linebacker. He's a football guy. Like, L.J., the first one in the family that plays basketball. His little brother is a really good football player. So, really tough, you know, family in that Cryer family. Shout out to them. I know they're in San Antonio. You guys be safe on your drive back to Houston. Hopefully you be celebrating tonight. How can I go against Houston? You look at the numbers, man, they've held people in the tournament to 56.5 points per game, bro. Two teams went over 60 points, Gonzaga and Duke. Those were the only ones that went over 60 points. So the team total night for Florida is 70.5. It's a reason that the books picked that 70. So I'm going to go with under 70.5 from Florida. I think that it's going to turn to all, like all Houston games are. It's just going to be a battle. Just, you know, them being able to lock down Florida's big men, keep them off the glass, and harass the hell out of Walter Clayton. So I think that they probably get the ball out of his hands. They probably double him right off the door. So the other guys for Florida on the perimeter are going to have to step up a lot for them to even have a chance to me in this one. You look at Houston, they're 8-1 outright in games decided by 6 points or fewer, and we see from the spread that they expect it to be a close one. They're also 11-0 straight up in games with spreads that are less than 9 points. So anything under double digits, they know how to get those games done, man. I just think that it's too many veterans. And another thing to take into account is this. You got the oldest NCAA coach in Coach Kelvin Sampson, who's paid his dues, and everyone loves and knows that he's earned the right to be here and become a champion against Ty Golden, who's a baby, man. Ty Golden is going to have Florida there again. This won't be the first time that we see them there because he's a really good coach, and they have a great recruiting machine down there when they're right, as we saw before with Billy Donovan winning back-to-back championships with Florida. So, yeah, I'm a homer, so of course I'm going with Houston tonight. I'm going to play the full game. I won't mess with the first half, even though I do think that Houston comes out dominant. And the reason why is we've seen a pattern with Houston, especially if you watch them a lot like me and Ski do. Anytime they play a game like they played the last game where it was close, it was tight, and they didn't have their best performance, the next game they're lights out every time. It never fails. They're going to shoot the ball much better this game. We're going to have a Milo Skuzan sighting because he didn't do jack last game. So you best believe that Kelvin Sampson took him to the office and said, listen, man, this is your team. You're the point guard. We trust you. We go as you go. What are you doing? Are you afraid of the moment? We're going to see Skuzan play a lot better tonight. He's going to try to win that matchup against Walter Clayton. So I do like my Cougs. I just think it's our time. Too many factors point to Houston winning this one. Florida's a really good team, but this won't be the first SEC team we took out this year. So give me Houston. And also I'm going to go under on the team total for Florida. I don't know if I go under on the points for Walter Clayton. It's at 19.5. I think he can get to 20. He's that special of a player, so I won't be playing that one.
Ski, there's a psychological term known as a Pavlovian response, and it's from the idea there's a guy, Pavlov's dog. He rang the bell every time he gets the food. Then now all of a sudden the dog starts responding to the bell to get food. I had a Pavlovian response when I opened up the lines this morning, and I know Five Star didn't, but I bet Houston first half anyways. It's just because I've hit the bell and I've got the food so many times this year, I went ahead and did it. What do you think of this, and what do you think of the game tonight? What are you looking for tonight? What are some key matchups? What are you expecting to see when these guys tip off tonight?
Well, I'm not mad at that first half at all. Really, it's just it goes to I don't think Florida's really seen a defense like this all season. But before I get there, I mean, I followed this team really close. Like Five Star said, over the past 4 or 5 years, like, this is my squad I watch every single time. And I can say, until this season, I've never, ever thought they had a chance to win it all. But this team for this year, they different. And the difference maker is Uzan. When he, in like, I think it was mid-season, somewhere around January, he started to find his rhythm, get that confidence. And since then, it's been a lot different Houston team. I know he didn't play good in the last game because he was in foul trouble and couldn't really find his rhythm. But I think, like Five Star said, we'll see a much better Uzan here tonight. Houston, outside, I mean, including him, but they got three guards. They all shoot 40% plus from three. And two of them can create their own shot whenever they want to. So I just seen them put up, about 70 points on Duke, on Tennessee, two really good defenses. Florida's defense way softer than that. On the other end, like I said earlier, Florida hasn't seen anything close to Houston's level of defense in this tournament. And honestly, I think it's the most physical opponent they faced all season. So I think they're going to give my boy Walter Clayton Jr. hell. He's a great player. He still can score his points, but they're going to make it hard. They're going to make him give up the ball. And I don't think Florida's going to be able to just, like, people think they're just going to go in there and out-rebound Houston. Like, Houston just out-rebounded the taller Duke team by 11. Why can't they hold their own by Florida? Like, these are some dogs, man. So I like all of those things. And then, like we mentioned, when it comes down to the end of the game, the people you can trust. Why? Experience. Houston, the only team in college basketball, 25-plus wins each of the past 5 years. Four of those seasons, they got 30-plus wins. Program is consistent. They built for these big game moments. He talked about LJ and all these other guys. They got seven guys in the rotation that returned from last year. They got the best coach out there in Kelvin Sampson. Cougars got everything they need for tonight, man. They bringing that title home.
All right. Well, it looks like this is going to be a full Houston panel tonight. And hopefully we will be celebrating on Wednesday. Five star, let's move on to the people segment. Houston doesn't count. You can't use Houston here, but we're going for the ball on parlay.
I will throw in, I think this would be also a show play as well. We got to go plus half, first half Houston, right?
Yeah, I'll bet it.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Pavlovian? What is it called?
Yeah, it's a Pavlovian response there.
I just was doing it out. I saw the half a point. I'm like, and I just sit up here in my breakdown and said why. Because they didn't play well last game. They're not going to allow themselves to get behind like that. They're going to come out with their hair on fire, because one of the things that Coach Sampson likes to really push is that to start fast and get ahead. So I think that they do win the first half. So that's a group play for everyone on the ball and parlay. We're going to go to tennis. I got it. Tennis compadre now, my boy Ski. We are tennis every day. He replaced Fred. You're busy now. We used to text about tennis.
Hey, I'm gonna be back in here, five star. I just got the itemized list of everything I need to spend money on. Yeah, I got to start watching tennis. My tennis TV subscription renewed this morning, and I'm gonna go.
Hey, I'm gonna put you in the group then. I'm gonna text you when we got out. We can kind of throw some things back and forth. But it's the ATP. We all are mostly WTA bettors. We do, you know, play a little bit of ATP. But this is a good tournament. We got Monte Carlo. I pray that I'm able to travel there one day and go to this tournament. It's one of my favorite. As you know, it's off the coast of France and just a beautiful part of the world. One of the places that I have on my destination list to travel to. So maybe one day I'll go during this tournament if I can figure out getting my mother and grandmother here to keep the kids and me and the wife will go, man. And maybe Ski, you could join us, man. And
I'm trying to get out there.
We are talking about going to some of these tournaments, man. But that's one that I really like. It's a clay tournament. We're going to go with a two-legger that'll pay plus 113. I like Thomas Martin Echeverry against Mute. Mute is decent, man. He just doesn't have enough consistency for Echeverry. Echeverry beat him earlier this year, but it was on hard court. But both of them do prefer clay. I just think Echeverry consistency will be too much for Mute. We're going to put that with a layup, I feel like. Dimitrov against Nicholas Horry. Horry is not a good player. He had a little brief run where he might be still the number one Chile player, because he had passed Christian Garin as the number one Chile player. I don't know if he still is, because he didn't have a good year last year. The prior year, he was really good. And he's like a lot of people doing tennis, man. I tell these people who don't know about tennis, these ladies and gentlemen commit their entire life from like kids, like 10, 11 years old, to being in these academies. They have to play all day. They get no time to themselves to enjoy life. So when they have a little bit of success, some of them enjoy that success that they've earned. And I think that Harry was one of those guys who did so, being the number one Chile guy for like 2 years. So I don't think that he'll have any type of way of beating Dimitrov. We know that Grigor Dimitrov is just a good player, one of those guys who's always been top 10. He's getting a little bit older now, but he's always been right outside the big three, one of those guys that on the right day can beat one of the big three. So I think Dimitrov times Echeverry and Monte Carlo early in the morning is going to be a lot. Give me that for plus 113.
Ski, your favorite look for tonight, not involving just taking Houston Cougars full game or first half?
Yeah, man, I wish I had some WTA, man. They got us on a break for a week.
You got to play the Billie Jean Classic, but it's only
live. I don't like betting that. Even when I'm winning a lot, five star, I struggle with that. You'll see these women you never heard of, and they play the matches of their lives because the home crowd, and you know, I mean, it's
I think that's a tough about their country.
Yeah, it's a, I think that's a tough event to bet. I skip Billie Jean Cup as well, Ski. So there's no dishonor in that.
Well, I'll just roll with the two guys that I really like in this game. As much as, you know, I do trust Houston's defense, and I do think, you know, they're going to give him hell. He can still hit three threes, man. He's hit it seven in the last eight of the last nine games, something like that, Walter Clayton Jr. So I'd probably just put him along with – if Clayton is not hitting three threes, Florida's not getting close to winning this game. That's just what it is. So I like that. And LJ, he hit it this last game. What do you have, like six? He can carry that momentum into this game. His 2.5 3-point prop. Like I said, he's one of those guys shooting over 40% from three. He did miss it in the two games prior, but I think he's found his rhythm. He's been here before. I think he'll shoot it well tonight. So I'm pretty sure if you put those two guys together, Walter Clayton Jr. and LJ 2.5 threes, should get plus money.
All right, and I'm going to head over to something that nobody's paying attention to right now, and that's the regular season. And Five-Star, I had mentioned this to Ski before we went on. Looking at the West standings, it's so crazy how these teams don't care about the regular season. Because there's like six teams that are all tied between 3 and 7 right now. It really matters. They shouldn't be putting these games. We'll go on that some other time. And maybe the next time we bring Ski on, I can ask him about Shaq becoming the biggest hater of all time. With
his I got something on that.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get that. But I'm gonna unfortunately have to fade my favorite team tonight. I do not think the beam will be lit. The Kings have been 3-12 against the spread on back to backs this year. And you know how you know your team's really well, Five Stars. You watch the Rockets all the time, and Ski rarely misses a Lakers game. Every once in a while, I hear him saying he's taking the night off from watching the Lakers. But we know our team's really well. And not only are they not covering in these back to backs, this team looks terrible. I don't know what it is. It's not like they're like a ridiculously old team, but for some reason they cannot play two nights in a row, and it's an excellent situational spot. The Kings are coming off arguably their biggest win of the year. They got a win in Cleveland over the Cleveland Cavaliers, second best record in the NBA, in a game that if they wanted to catch the Thunder to potentially have the best record in the NBA this season, they needed to win that. So I don't think they necessarily caught an unmotivated team there. You saw what happens when a team full of offensive players gets hot, right? And that's the cool thing about having LaVine and DeRozan and Sabonis is that you can outscore really good teams, even teams that play good defense. So now we get them, you know, in a sell-high spot, right? A potential lit-down spot coming off the biggest win of the year, going against a Detroit team who was playing really well, but now comes into this game as losers of three of their last four games. Most recently, they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies at home, but that was on Saturday night, so they're coming off a loss, and they got a little extra rest while they stay at home. Detroit would like to stay in that number five position. They'd much rather play Indiana than New York here. I think we're going to see a great performance from Detroit as they try to really build some momentum going into the end of the year, and unfortunately, the Kings have not begun on back-to-backs all year. So I hate to do it, but I'm laying the points with the Pistons, and that'll be on my second screen. But hey, I'll have the volume on the Houston Cougars game while I'm watching the Kings run and gun out there. So that's it for me. Ski, you want to talk about Shaq being a hater real quick while we got you here? Can you believe the stuff he's saying, man? Like, and no other sport does this. You never hear like NFL players going, "Ronnie Lott couldn't play today." You know, like,
I got a theory on that. After Ski goes, I got a theory on why.
Okay, I want to hear this.
I want to hear your theory first. Do your theory first.
All right, what's your theory?
My theory on why this is happening is this. Okay, and Jason McIntyre sucks. I hate a lot of stuff that he says, and he steals a lot of my takes because he follows me and he watches the show sometimes. I could tell by some of the stuff he says, but he's an official Houston hater, so I don't really care for a lot of his commentary, but he did make one good point today when I watched the show when he was filling in for Colin. He said that the NBA has a real problem with his coverage with the fact, and you've been saying that before that spread, so he probably stole it from you because you've been saying this about 2 years on the show. He said that the NBA has a real problem with the fact that they don't cover the sport right. It's always hating and talking down, and we know that's mostly the Charles Barkley. I'm not going to, Kenny doesn't do it as much, but Charles Barkley and Shaq, you know, with their way of looking at it. And my theory on this is all of those guys who played back in that era from, I'm going to say, early 90s back, Think about what produced NBA players back then. Mostly it was the hood, right? Most of the guys that played, now it's a different path. You know, more black kids are suburban and going to AAUs and, you know, playing private school because, you know, people's wealth levels have changed. More black people have stuff now. But back then, when we were small, Ski, like little kids, we remember how it used to be. Like, it was hood. You know, you remember Spread. You grew up, you know, in the hood. You didn't grow up. People don't know that Spread grew up right in the hood, too. So he knows that. Like, it was a different time. I don't know if it was less money flowing in the world or what, but it was a different level of poverty and people wanted and need stuff. So a lot of these guys come from that background of, I got to be the man. I got to beat my chest in order to make it. When I play these games, it's life or death. I got to get my family out the hood. I'm the best. They haven't been able to get that mentality away from them. And that's the problem. It's the machoism that comes from that era that we kind of all grew up in where, you know, it's me, it's me. So I think they look at these guys and a lot of them are jealous, Spread. They're jealous that they think that the players are not as good as them, but look how much money they're making compared to how much money they were making. So that's where it comes from. It stems from, first of all, the era they grew up in, it was all about I'm the man and being macho, and they don't want to step back from that like I had to and say, wait a sec, this is dumb. It doesn't matter about being tough. What matters is being smart. You know, what matters is doing right. What matters is taking care of my family. I'm the big dog, and they're still caught up on that. You see, Michael Jordan still suffers from that a lot. You know, like that's, he has an ego problem. And a lot of those guys from the era, the last egomaniac like that was really Kobe, because he was from that era too. He caught the last of it. That combined with the fact that these guys are making so much money, and we know a lot of the guys who are making $100 million, look at your favorite, Spread, Bradley Beal. Right. Like these guys look at him and be like, man, come on. You know, they look at Jokic, and like I said, once again, these hood players, they used to beat the hell out of every white boy except for Larry Bird. So they look at Jokic and get mad as hell. Like, I'll punish Jokic. No, you wouldn't. Jokic is not like you think he is, bro. Jokic is a G. You think that Jokic could have played in any era. You know why? Because he's tough as hell. He doesn't cry. He just balls up, man. So I just think that that's the problem. It was just like, you know, that's my thoughts about it. It's just an era problem, man. And I hope they come up off of it. It probably will be because NBC is about to take over, and I think that NBC is going to clean all that shit out. It's going to go back to how basketball used to be covered, the way the NFL is covered, the way baseball is covered. It's just, we talk about sport, you know, and what's going on instead of, I could beat this person. You're 20 years out of the league, bro. Why are you talking about what you can do on a basketball court? You should be talking about what the people who are playing currently are doing. So that's what my thoughts on. What you think, Steve?
So I was writing a list here. I have a list here. And first I'm going to say, I think that the NBA is continually doing this. It's trending downwards. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So some of this hate towards these players in the NBA is rightfully so. What you mentioned about, I'm going to just call it privileged hoopers. They're not hungry. I agree with that 100%. They're rewarded for mediocrity. However, that's what the players like Shaq and them don't like. You got a Ben Simmons out here. He done made $250 million. He ain't did a damn thing.
Nothing.
Stuff like this. I hate it. I've been watching NBA my whole life. I don't want to see none of this shit. Kobe once said, too, you know, these players these days, they don't play intentional basketball. He said, we used to do stuff with a purpose. They just out there playing pickup, doing whatever, penetrate and kick it to whoever. It's not the quality of the game keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Then you look at every team in the NBA right now is shooting more threes per game than the 2015 Warriors. Are they all Steph Curry? We don't want to see that shit. Everybody should not be shooting threes.
Boy, you speak, so much wrong. You're speaking from my heart. Keep going.
It's so much wrong with the NBA right now, and I hate it. I'm an NBA guy. I've been watching this shit since I was in diapers. I hate it. They don't play defense anymore. It just let whoever. The totals are what? 240, 250, 2. Come on, man. What are we watching? There's so much to hate. So for a player who spent all his life working hard to be great and doing all that stuff to see this bullshit that's on display now, I would hate it too.
And they're getting paid right. more than you.
There
and
you go.
And they're getting paid way more than you ever dreamed of playing, and you're leaving blood, sweat, and tears on the court.
Yeah.
That's why, as a Houston fan, you guys know I've been dissing basketball, NBA for years, because I've seen where the shit was going. And like you said, it's because they shoot more threes than the 2015 Warriors, who really the Rockets started that system, but the Warriors perfected it. They're the ones who did it the correct way, because it all started with analytics. The guy from Harvard name that went to the Sixers that started with the Rockets? What's the name? I know it.
But I remember that playoff where they was just shooting. They missed like 16 threes in a row.
And kept shooting because Daryl Morey had a system in that no matter what, they were going to shoot threes. And then the Warriors perfected it because Steve Kerr was a three-point shooter. So he kind of figured out ways to add it with the motion and with stuff he learned from the triangle and made like the perfect system for them. Now you see the Celtics because you got another guy that's up top of this GM that's really smart, and Brad Stevens, who's came up with some ways to in order to shoot the three, but they shoot the three good enough to continue to do it. You know, Boston shoots at a really high clip. But for me, it's really refreshing. Not only my college team and my NBA team, I feel like they play basketball the old school way. They play the way that we grew up watching it with effort, defense. I care about defense. I care about getting stops. You know, it's man on man. It used to be about being the baddest man on the planet in the NBA, but now it's I call it skinny jeans culture. It's just like everybody just like we get money, you know.
Yeah.
Instagram shining.
What club we at tonight?
We're at the club tonight, and that's why that's one of the reasons why he dope doesn't like Cam Whitmore, because he's having too much of that stuff going on. He likes guys like our man Thompson. He likes how Jalen Green, because Jalen looks all with all that fancy stuff, but at the core, Jalen really wants to be great. So it's refreshing to me, you know, to see that. What do you think, Spread? Why do they hate on him so much? You've heard Skis and I opinions.
I mean, boy, I think you guys put it perfectly. I'm just surprised that the NBA platforms this. I don't think an NFL player could get away with this. If an NFL player tried to go on a broadcast every night and go, this sucks. You know, these guys can't run over the middle. You know, these quarterbacks, you know, I heard Aikman say it a couple times, and you can hear he got a memo because he never brought it up again.
Oh, they said something sure. When he was talking about Mahomes, they said something.
And how, you know, back in his day, he was getting crushed, and he stopped bringing it up. So I kind of agree with what he's saying, especially about Ben Simmons, right? I mean, that was, you know, and this will be a perfect analogy here, right? That was the layup, and I'd love to do that on a Ben Simmons conversation. But some of the stuff, I just don't know if it's good for the game overall, because while everything you guys say is true, there is some cool stuff going on that they could be highlighting that they choose not to.
Yeah, they definitely are playing better offense right now than we've seen in the NBA. We have more skill, but the thing about the skill that we have now is all trained skills. It's all like athletic trainers. It's like me, I got Ian. He about to look like a machine, same way. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be any artistic nature to his game. It's going to be just like how you see Tatum. It's all a coach has told him, step here, step back, you know, like a robot. And, you know, after so many repetitions, you're going to be good doing it. So that's what we're seeing now. And the older players, that's what made the All-Star better. Yeah, they didn't play defense either, but so much artistic, you know, basketball. Everyone had their own style, their own way of doing things. And that's one of the things that we lost. And I hope that we find a way to get it back again. And I think it might start at the top with Adam Silver, but the owners are not going to get rid of him because he makes more money than they've ever made before. So it doesn't make sense for him to lose his position, but he's the problem. He's the head of the snake. He's the reason why the game is what it is. And David Stern is the reason why the game got to this point where they can make the money that they have now. And his successor, I don't know as much, man. But let's review real quick the bottom parlay. Spread is going against his squad and going with the Detroit Pistons laying a 6.5 at home against Sacramento. Ski is going with two props with over 3-pointers, 2.5 for Walter Clay, 2.5 for LJ Cryer. And then I have a two-teamer with Echeverry and Dimitrov. I also would say I lean towards the under also in the first half with the game with the Cougars in Florida. definitely playing the first half, because I forgot about this, Ski. We just talked about this too. Florida 0-4 in the first half against the spread. Yeah. They haven't been playing good coming out, bro. So we definitely, that's going to be a play from the whole crew right there. Is going to be first half Houston, as always, automatic bet. And then for the game, and as I told you also, like the team total for Florida going to 70, the under 66 on the first half. I'd also look at Juwan Roberts to go over 6.5 rebounds. He's an effort guy. This is his last game suiting up. I think we're going to see a lot of effort from him as well. Man, we appreciate Ski joining the show. Hopefully we can get you in more, man. Now that you're doing tennis, I'm going to have to bring you on.
Oh, yeah. We'll chop it up.
Now here, right? Tell them where to find you at your multitude of shows. This man is everywhere. He's the hardest working man in the sports, man.
I appreciate y'all, man. Yeah, everything you can see right there on the screen at Ski Profit, whether it's X, YouTube, you know, whenever you want to find out what I'm doing, you just type that in and it will pop up. So appreciate y'all boys having me.
Actually, quick flip though, for ahead of the spread, you got to put Wager Talk in.
Oh, okay,
type
my
ski
bad.
In, thanks, you won't get Fred. It. Just so you guys know, ahead of the spread is on the Wager Check channel. The OG NBA shows on the Ski Profit channel.
Appreciate
that. Anything for the people before we get out of this spring?
My Starlink cut out, guys, but I've actually been having so much fun watching the conference tournaments, and I go, man, should I just become a college basketball capper? Because I really know the sport of basketball, but I might have a better time watching this product right now. So I'm looking forward to the final game of the night. And hey, no point spread, couldn't ask for anything more, right? Yeah. You can make good arguments for both sides. On this show, you heard some good arguments for Houston today, but I'm sure if you look around the web and stuff, you can find some good arguments for Florida too. So as sports fans, we couldn't ask for anything more, and I'm real excited to break this down with you guys later this week on the results.
Yeah, man, we'll definitely be back this week. We'll probably talk some tennis and things like that, some spring football, and when the NBA playoffs come up, for sure, we'll be in here often breaking that down for spreads there for my guy Ski. I'm 5-star in Vegas. As always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan I know, and that's my father, John H. Lenz. I know he's smiling down. He'll be proud of the Cougs. You know my little brother be proud of the Cougs, too. Go Cougs.